because he's getting more mature. And I told him on Wednesday night, we're a lot more informal. And one of the things I wanted them to do is, after he got through speaking, is to open it up for questions, because I know our church, we love to talk to missionaries and we like to commune. And he just lit up. And he says, that's what I love. He says, oh, you know, he wants questions. He wants to converse, and he would like to relay any questions you might have. One of the things, Brother Manasseh went back to Nigeria, I'm thinking probably around 1984. When I came into Lexington Baptist College, he knew it was time to leave. he departed about the time I was starting. So he went back to Nigeria, and he has led many to the Lord. He estimated probably in thousands. Many people have been receptive. I had him preach about 25 years ago over at Landmark Baptist Church, and I'm going to tell you what, he is like a gospel Gatling gun. He loves to preach. He loves the gospel. He loves the Lord. And his wife is up in Ashland. So she and the family's up there, all but the daughter, who's married and got two kids, and she's up in Columbus. But Brother Manasseh is a blessing, and I know if you once you hear him talk and you relate to him, you'll get to love him also. So he has left Nigeria because of persecution, and it's pretty much a Muslim-led country, kind of the president. It's known as a democracy. But it's kind of like if you vote for the guy who's not a Muslim, we're going to kill you. So that's a democracy. You know, that's a democracy in Nigeria. So there's a lot of things going on in our world. A lot of people are not aware of Christian persecution. Matter of fact, just a few weeks ago, there was a pastor, and I don't know if you saw him on the news. I think I've mentioned him. And he was caught, I don't know if it was Boko Haram that had him, and they said they were going to behead him. He was a pastor of a kind of a large church, and they interviewed him while they had him captured, and he told his family, he used it as an opportunity to witness for Christ, and he told his family, the Lord willing, he'd be back with them. About a week later, they cut his head off. You know, so there's a lot of things going on our news media doesn't tell us about, which is really sad. So I'm going to turn it over to Brother Manasseh. He can preach, or he can question, or you can take questions. Or, Brother, I'm just, as the Lord leads you, you just come share what he's laid upon your heart. So I think you need to be hooked up. Probably not.
I'll do it anyway. I have a sharp voice. Okay? You want it? This is America. Let's go. This is America. Thank you very much. I feel like I should even be down here. I really wanted. I was thinking that as I was preparing and praying, first of all, I want to thank God that I'm here alive and in one piece. I will never forget that, because as I was telling him, I would have been dead, you know. At least I've escaped death. The ones I can remember four times, I mean, I would have been dead. There was a one that they had to, the last car that was to get out was the one that took me out. So a friend had just had to say, now get out from there. And I said, I've checked for a vehicle, there is no car. Then he arranged for a car. By the time the car came to me, it was all filled up because of people who are running. So first I need to thank God that I'm alive. It's a privilege, not a right. And then secondly, I thank God that I'm in America, the place where I schooled some years ago, the land of the bluegrass. Two of our kids were born here in Lexington when I was going to Lexington Baptist College. We came there in 1980. And then went back 1984 to do the mission work. Thirdly is, as we have arranged, I want to speak in such a way that you guys will understand me, because you can see if I start preaching and I start rolling, some people will not understand what I'm talking about. So this evening, I want to be mellow yellow, you know, just mellow yellow. I don't want to be bang, bang, bang. I want to be mellow yellow. So to help me in being mellow yellow, I would like to, basically, I would say my message is in this booklet that we prepared. Someone from the U.S. wrote it, but when he came to Nigeria, it has some American English chasm. That is a gap. So we, in the 70s, we sat down and changed some of the English and make it in such a way that our Nigerian people can read and understand it. So basically, almost, I can say almost what I'm going to preach is in here. So if I give you, it will slow me down. So that is what I believe the Lord is doing on my soul. We can all go together, and if I rumble up, you will still see it there in the booklet. Okay? So if you don't mind, I would like everybody to have one, and then we'll go step by step. Everybody has one, and I'll announce the text to you guys. Thank you. Please, let's do it so that we can save time. While they are doing that, if you don't mind, Steve, maybe I can use this one here. Does this one sit here? Or I want to move down there. Thank you very much. Good. Thank you, my brother. Thank you for that liberty. I really want to look at you people, and as I say, mellow yellow. Because if I stay there, the temptation to go bang, bang, bang will be there because I'm on the pulpit. So when I was praying and preparing, the Lord is saying, if I come here, I should just really speak as if we are a family. And that is the way I want you. So we are a family. So if I finish talking and you are going to ask me a question, no question is stupid and no question will offend me. You know, some people think if they ask some question about Africa, it may offend. No, not me. Okay, now I can announce my text to you guys. We read the text, and then we go to the booklets, and we go point by point, and then we'll save time that way. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You can leave your booklet. Just leave this one by the side and open your Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. One thing I like with independent Baptist churches is they like the Bible. And some years ago, I was telling him, I think he was laughing. Some years ago, when we came to study to the Lexington Baptist College, I came to study Bible. And they say, well, you have to take psychology and you have to take sociology. I say, I don't need those ones. I came to study Bible. It took them time to calm me down. Hey, it's going to help you in the ministry. Calm down. So I calmed down. I took sociology and psychology and some of the zoologies. And I discovered that by the time I went to Nigeria, through, especially sociology, it really helped me because it's also in the Bible. The Bible says Jesus grew in wisdom, in stature, in favor with God, and in favor with men. There's a social part of it. So as I reach out to my people, those who are poor, those who are educated, those who are in the homes, I see hundreds of Nigerians give their lives to Christ. And then I moved to some other African countries. I've been to Benin Republic. I've been to Ghana. I've been to Togo. I've been to Zambia. I've been to Rwanda. Maybe some of you have heard about Rwanda before. There was a genocide killing people. So somebody opened the door. I went there. And I spent about a month or so there. People were giving their lives to Jesus Christ. So I can say I have led thousands to Christ. That's not exaggeration. Because those that I disciple or train them. There's one young man, I led him to Christ. When I went back from the U.S. 1997, he gave his life to Christ 1998 or thereabout. His name is Jerry. And Jerry Anze, when I trained him, in preaching and sharing the gospel, Jerry Anze alone in his ministry has trained over 11,000 Africans. One boy. So what God is doing in Nigeria is what is annoying the Muslims. And they say we must wipe away the Christians. But I have good news for you. The more they are killing Christians recently, the more Muslims are giving their lives to Christ. I was here in September. Between September and now, they sent me a video of some Muslim women that have given their lives to Christ, and they are bold. One thing with Muslims, when they receive Christ, they don't play games. They don't play games. Once you see, there's a Muslim terrorist that gave his life to Christ, and I think they say, well, since you are becoming a radical Christian, I think we have a radical Christian. So they gave him my number, and he called me. That they say, I should call you. So by the time we met, it was two wild preachers together. So anyway, tonight I want to be Mela Yelo. So let's go to our 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we just read from verse... are you controlling this thing? Or I'm okay? Okay, good. I don't want to be too loud for you guys. Okay. From verse 16... From verse 16, but the natural man, is that, or is that 14? 14, sorry, excuse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judge of no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Chapter 3, verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now you are able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men or as ordinary men? So what I want to share with you tonight is, I would like to entitle it Identity. When I came to U.S. and I would go to the bank or somewhere, they would say, ID, give us your ID or your social security number or both. So I would take my international passport, my ID, and then I would bring my small paper where they gave me, it called social security number, some years ago when I was in Lexington Baptist College. They gave me social security number just on a small paper, but I kept it all this time. And when they receive it, bam, 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 before you know it, they will take care of me, because on that small ID with my social security number, they know about me. And then with my international passport, they know that I'm from Nigeria. So what I want to do is to show you from the passage we read, there are three kinds of people that Paul talked about. Now you can keep your Bible aside and take your book. As I told you, I was part of those who prepared this booklet some years ago, so I'm comfortable with it. So if you take your book, I'm going to show you that in the whole world, people are classified under three categories. The whole world. I've shared this book in different countries of the world, and nobody has ever disputed that. Some years ago, I was in one of the cities here, and they took me for prison ministry. And the prison is specifically for women. It was women prison. This is America for you. That's for women. So our church went there and they sang, and I was the guest speaker. So I share with them the things I'm going to share with you, and just to let everybody know, everybody in that prison, let them know where they stand. By the time I finish with you tonight, you will know that Paul was right. That every individual in this world is classified under one particular group. I shared this in Ghana, in one of the churches, and revival broke through. That in 2 weeks, the church grew. They are offering change because everybody that came knew where they stand. Because they gave us, I think, 2 days, so I decided to just take my time and really mail a yellow. And we had a wonderful time. And the last day, I said, now we are going to go out and tell people what I've just told you. So there's a big army barracks near the church in Ghana. Very big army barracks. So we divide ourselves 2, 2, 3, 3, and we invaded the barracks. As we went sharing this, people were giving their life to Christ. Then some of our people went to a girl, to a house, and the girl was about to hang herself. She was about to kill herself by hanging. And that's how that girl was rescued. Her soul was saved, and her life, physical life, was saved. So what I'm sharing with you tonight is in the Bible. It is verifiable. Paul said, the natural man, and if you look at your booklet, you will see that. Let me give you an introduction in the book first, okay? I will read and then I will show you that. So I'm going to read. Every day can be a day of victory for a Christian through the power of the Holy Spirit. And let me say this. Without the Holy Spirit, nobody can live the Christian life. Sometimes we Baptists, we are afraid of the Holy Spirit. But without the Holy Spirit, nobody can even become a Christian. 1972, when that gentleman preached in our church, 1972, he didn't follow me to my house. But the Holy Spirit took what he preached and kept on bothering me and kept on disturbing me until I looked for his house. My brother, when we preach the gospel, we don't force the people. The Holy Spirit will do the job. So, if you want to live a successful Christian life, you want to live a victorious Christian life, then you have to believe in the Holy Spirit. I'm not talking about this. No. Cool. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He is gentle. He is loving, but he is powerful. If you read Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, you will see the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It says it's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. So the Holy Spirit is not crazy, but he's also powerful. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, the Bible says, but you shall receive power. And that word power, I think, comes from the Greek word dunamos, which is dynamite. So the Holy Spirit is not weak. He is gentle, but powerful. Somebody who will convert me in 1972, that person has to be powerful. Because I used to be like a wild animal. At age 14, 15, I had deceived and confused my parents and ran to a big city. And when I went to the big city, I was wild. I was a jerk, to use American English. I was a jerk. I mean, ran away from home and left my parents. And when I came to the big city, there is a black American that used to be called James Brown. And James Brown was raining that time. He used to sing, hey, hey, I feel all right, baby, fever. So he went to Nigeria, and when he went to Nigeria, they flooded into the place. They even stampeded, I think they even killed some people because they wanted to see him. So I memorized his songs. I became like a star. And when I'm dancing James Brown music, people will be gathering and be looking at me, and I'll be rolling on the floor. And to me, I thought I was cool. I was coolly going to hell. If I had that, I would go to hell. So somebody who would have been able to convert me and get me off that track. I rebel against my parents. I rebel against my high school principal. He was almost even crying. He came from England. But 1972, this Holy Spirit, this Holy Ghost came into my heart and removed those
rebellion. Someone who can change Jerry Anze, the one I told you. Jerry Anze took a knife and wanted to kill his mother some years ago. Look, he chased the mother out of the house and was running after them to stab the mother, to kill the mother. And they had to subdue him and get the knife away from his hand. So one day I came to their house, I told the mother, give me this, your son. And she said, take him. I took Jerry by the side to my house and sat down around somewhere in my house. And I went through what I'm trying to go through with you, step by step with Jerry. And Jerry gave his life to Jesus Christ. And Jerry was filled with the Holy Spirit. And Jerry's life began to change. One day, Jerry, I went to their house, and Jerry and the mother sat down and they were studying Bible together. The mother that he wanted to kill. Now they were studying Bible and praying together. Who could have done that? The Holy Spirit. I didn't change him. The Holy Spirit changed him. So, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, we of the people of Independent Baptist Church, we have worked through. Not many churches people know the truth of the Bible. We know the truth. And even in America here, you have surplus of Bibles. It beats my heart. You have so many Baptist Bible schools and seminaries. You have Bibles in the pew. You know what I mean there? Where my ministry in Nigeria, sometimes one of the things I do is I do sports ministry. Specifically, you call it soccer, we call it football. And when I started the football academy, so small and that, and then today, hundreds of young people have been led to Christ on the soccer field. We got work to do. So, and that work can be done again only through the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay, let's go back to our book. Before you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you were in control of your own life. But when you receive Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit again came to live within you. The Holy Spirit makes it possible for every Christian to live a victorious life. That's again quotation that I will not read it. For the Holy Spirit of God is more powerful than any other spirit. Let me say something for you here. Boko Haram, the strong terrorist group in Nigeria, is a spirit. He's a spirit. That's why I told them back in Nigeria, the federal government of Nigeria don't have the power to fight Boko Haram. You can't fight them with weapons. You can't fight them with guns. Because it's a spirit. I knew when they were training those young boys. I knew when they were training them in my home state. Their headquarters is in my home state. Islam came into Nigeria through my home state. And I knew when they were training those young boys as terrorists under the trees. Not in the building, under the trees. And when they were enchanting the Quran, cho 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 cho, I knew that. I saw them train them. Now they have become a force that even the Nigerian government is not able to fight them. It's a spirit. Only the spirit is evil spirit. Some of you don't believe in evil spirit. Evil spirits are real. Demons are real, people. Wake up! How can somebody say you believe the Bible, you don't believe that there are evil spirits? There are evil spirits. And you and I cannot deal with them on our own. Just Jerry wanted to kill the mother because he was filled with unclean spirit. And I couldn't deal with those spirits. But Jesus can deal with those spirits. So I introduced him to Jesus. And I led him to Jesus. By the time Jerry prayed and gave his life to Jesus, Jesus was changing him. The mother was surprised. People were surprised. His friends were surprised. Today his friends are amazed because Jerry is going from place to place, African countries, and preaching the gospel. And through Jerry, about over 11,000 Africans are trained through his seminar and workshops. So, the Holy Spirit is more powerful than any other spirit. Some years ago, I was in California and preaching in a church, and they were complaining. They were really complaining. Oh, this is our young people. Oh, our young people. Our young people. I told them, hey, all these you are young people, do you know what? It is their heart that needs to be changed. And nobody can change their hearts, only Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, nobody can bring peace in this world. Only Jesus Christ can bring true peace. Hello? If you are looking for peace in the United Nations, you will never find it. In fact, they even need the gospel in the United Nations because sometimes they are even more confused than what they should be. I mean, I'm just telling you what I'm telling you. Go and verify it, because what I'm telling you, I know that. Sometimes they're just so confused. So United Nations can never unite the world. They can never bring real peace. The real peace that can happen is only through Jesus Christ. If you don't believe it, you will die a miserable person. When I gave my life to Christ in 1972, I got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river in my heart. Because my heart is changed. The evil spirits are gone. Who removed them? Jesus. Jesus. So now, three people in the world. Number one on page two. Is it page two or page three? Page three. The first person is what we read in verse 14. It said the natural man. Can you see the natural man on page 3? The natural man. If you look at, there's a diagram there. And that diagram is showing the picture of a human heart. Just a picture. Okay? It's an illustration. If you look at that heart, if you look at the heart of man there, where is the cross? I'm going to test you. I'm teaching. Where is the cross? Where is the cross there on page 3? Is it inside the circle or outside? Okay, what does the cross represent? What does the cross represent? Jesus. So, in this heart, Jesus is outside of this heart. Jerry, I think, has been going to church. My father was a pastor. But all this time, I was going to church. I was baptized in that church of Christ. But Jesus was still outside my heart. Because I never asked him to come in. So there are people who are, I discovered that after I gave my life to Christ, I discovered that there are many people in the churches in Nigeria who had not known Jesus. So I started moving from church to church, from school to school. I go to the parks, and then, you know, to different places talk about Jesus. That's why I can tell about thousands of people I have led to Christ, plus me and those that I train. So in this heart, the cross is outside. Now if you look at this person's heart, is so scattered because the interests and the desires and the wish of this person are controlled by himself or by herself, because he is the one that is sitting on the chair. The chair represents the center of our hearts. You can sleep on the same bed with somebody and you don't know their hearts. Sometimes you have husband and wife sleeping near each other, and then because what? The heart is messed up. The heart is messed up. And you don't know her heart, and she doesn't know your heart. You can only see express in the action. So the heart of man is desperately wicked. And the only thing that will be meaningful in changing human being is when the heart is changed. I tell them in Nigeria, the heart of man is the headquarters of the man. It is. Jesus said, all these evil things you see, they come out from the heart. So if you look at this heart is all jumbled up. It's all messed up. Why? Because Jesus is outside. If you lie, you can sleep in the church. If you don't have Jesus in your heart, you are not a Christian. Because the Christian is someone who has given his or her life to Jesus Christ. Let's put it that way. You know what I mean? Okay, so that's number one. You are going to see these kind of people. And let me say this with every sense of humility and seriousness. Many Americans grow up in church and they are doing Christian religion, but many of them have not given their lives to Jesus. I travel to different denominations, not only Baptist. I'm a serious independent Baptist person. I believe that baptism must be by immersion. I believe in the Lord's Supper and all that. But you know what? I go to outreach to other different churches because they need Jesus. They need Jesus. Many of us in Baptist, we are enjoying it because many people have known Christ in Baptist. But not everybody in Baptist also have received Jesus. It is possible you are here tonight and you think by coming to church you are a Christian. No. If you have never bowed down and then said, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner and I know I'm lost. I wanted to come into my heart. If you have never done that, you are not a Christian. My father was a pastor. I grew up in that pastor. They were, I was baptized. But I was baptized just, I swam really. I just went swimming. Because I didn't have Jesus. It was after that that somebody took time and explained to me that even though your father is a pastor, even though you grew up in the church, you need to give your life to Jesus. Okay? So number one person is called the natural man or the unspiritual person. You will find plenty of them in this world. Number two, on page four. Number two is the spirit-controlled Christian. Again, if you look at that diagram, the circle is this. Is a picture of the human heart. Then inside the circle, you can see the chair, the throne, the center of the heart, the inside. That I don't know my wife's heart, she doesn't know my heart, because the inside, nobody can know it except God. Now in this circle, okay, let me ask, what is the difference between this circle and the one we just looked at? What is the difference? Yes, sir. Okay, stand up and speak, buddy. Stand up and say, what did you say? Very good. Jesus Christ is in the center of his life. Good boy. And you are 9 years old? 9 years. Good. So this person is what? Jesus is now in the center controlling his life. Another difference? Anything else that is different? Look at it. What is the difference again? There's something else different. Pardon? He's bowed down, my dear. He humbled. Because nobody can receive Jesus with pride. Jesus said, unless you humble yourself like the little child, you will not enter the kingdom. Nobody. There's a guy that he was an air commander in the Nigerian Army, Air Force. Then he retired. Then he now was feeling that he was air commander retired. When he met Jesus, Jesus shattered and changed his life. And because he has been committing adultery, when he came and saw his wife, he just fell on his knees and put his head on the woman's lap and was literally crying and confessing and apologizing to her. Who would have done that? Jesus is mightier than air commander retired. He had to humble himself. He came and knelt down in front of him and was weeping. The woman had to comfort him. We can't take our pride and say we are going to receive Jesus. No way. So thank you very much, my dear. He knelt down and humbled himself and asked Jesus to come in. There's another difference. One more difference. There's something there. One more. What is the difference? Look. Thank you very much, my dear. Oh, my goodness. What's your name? Jeff, you are my friend. Jeff, you are my friend. This is what there's the part I like. It's because Jesus is now in the center, things are now organized. There is peace and tranquility there. Manasseh, that used to be crazy, now Manasseh, calm down. Who calmed me down? Jesus. The Holy Spirit. Jerry that took a knife and wanted to kill his mother, now Jerry is cool. Who cooled Jerry? Jesus, because Jesus is now in the center of the heart because we humbled ourselves and asked him to come in. Ladies and gentlemen, do you want me to be honest with you? I've made up my mind to be honest because I'm talking to you as a family. That day I was in my hotel room and by the time I put on my phone and they say Trump has been acquitted. I didn't know when I fell flat. I fell on my knees in the hotel room and I started crying. Before that, I fell down flat on my stomach and I was literally crying and shedding tears. I thought so. I didn't know. I forgot I was in a hotel in America. I said, if they come and hear me crying, they may come and say, this guy is dying or something. Then I tried to control myself and I said, no, I can weep. I wept. In my country, I pray for America as if I was praying for revival. If something happens to America, it will affect us in Nigeria. God has used this country to bless me and bless my family and bless my country. And then Americans are playing with Jesus. I told my wife, my wife was talking. I said, I'm watching. If they impeach Trump, I will see who they are going to put there. And this is not politics now. This is serious business. I said, if they impeach Trump, I will see whom they will put there. You never know what you have until you lose it. I have never seen any president in America that will look at our president in his eye and say, Christians are being killed in Nigeria and I don't like it. Something like that. Face to face. I've never seen that except from Trump. A defender of the gospel. A defender of his country. Take it the way you want to take it. Trump is defending Christianity and he's defending his country. Your country was going down the drain. I'm not talking politics now. Your country was going down the drain. The enemies were ready to pounce on you. And then they try to show you a little introduction when they attacked the Trade Center, is it Trade Center in New York? That was a test to see how you react. And Bush became a man. Now Trump came and Trump said, hey, you saw Bush? I am more crazy than Bush. He looked at our president in the eye in Washington there and he said, Christians are being killed in Nigeria and I don't like it. And our president is not just a Muslim, he's a terrorist. Why? Because he is filled with the spirit of Islam. This guy is filled with the Holy Spirit, he's calm. My mother said, listen, my mother used to say when I was living that first life, the carnal man, my mother who gave birth to me, said, oh, I'm going to die. But the woman that is going to marry you, I pity her. My mother was pitying the lady that is going to marry me. And she told me, he said, I may come and die, but the woman that is going to marry you, I pity her. Why? Because I didn't have the spirit of God and I was violent. There was a time I took firewood and I drove everybody from my house, including my mother who gave birth to me. Everybody out or I'll kill somebody. Was I normal? No! I had evil spirit. But see now, when I gave my life to Christ, my father who was a pastor and my mother, I think they couldn't believe it. Just when I came home, my dressing had even changed. Because before I was trying to imitate the James Brown of America, so my trouser was wide. And I was walking like a madman. Hey, hey, I feel alright, baby. Was I feeling alright? I was sick. So when I gave my life to Christ, Holy Spirit said, change that trouser. So I went and got a normal trouser. Before, my trouser, I was trying to imitate James Brown. James Brown used to have his trouser like whatever, and then he would put the buttons by the side. So I went and said the tailor should make it so that I can lock myself with padlock. So I used to lock myself with padlock before I go to the toilet. I have to unlock myself. Was I normal? I had evil spirit. Nowadays, so I came back home, my trouser was not wide. Padlock have gone. My hair used to be long. I mean, abnormally long. Now my hair was normal. They were shocked. The whole village was shocked. This is Manasa. Some say, no, it can't be. This is Manasa. It can't be. People rushed to our house to come and confirm if I was the one. And when they came, I was the one, they were surprised. There are places in my home state, if I go today, I don't have to preach. When they see me, they know that God has changed me. Ladies and gentlemen, when Jesus comes into your life, you must be changed. Now, don't take my word for it. Let me quote it from the Bible. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, and I'm quoting. It says, if anyone be in Christ, is a new creation. The old things are passed away. Behold, everything has become new. That's 2 Corinthians 5:17. I know I'm quoting rightly. You cannot, my hawk, I was in Lexington here, and my hawk was going to, Transylvania University. So we were playing soccer together with my hawk. So we played soccer one day, And it was raining and lightning, so they canceled the game. So my hawk took me to where I was staying, and he sat down there while we were waiting for my wife to fix rice and beans, Nigerian food. Then I took this type of book and I shared with my hawk about Jesus. And my hawk gave his life to Christ that day in our living room. Jesus began to change his life. After I graduated, I went back to Nigeria. My hawk wrote a letter to me one day and said, God brought you all the way from Nigeria, Africa, to introduce me to Jesus. His life was changed, and my home married a very beautiful lady. He was a crazy guy. Jesus changed him. Now, let me submit this to you. Nobody has the power to change anybody except Jesus Christ. And he changes us from inside out. From inside out. I used to spend my money for that which is not food. After I gave my life to Christ, now I know how to spend my money in the right way. Some Americans, they are getting uncomfortable. Or some people have come, and then we give them money, and then we discover they were. I say, if it is me, forget about that. If you have that doubt, don't even give me money. When Ashland Avenue Baptist Church was sending us back to Nigeria as missionaries, I told them, if you are not going to come there to see the work, or you will not send somebody to see the work, keep your money. Because I don't want anybody to come and say, hey, Manasseh, get that money here, and he didn't do the work. What is money? I was working with the Nigerian government. I resigned because God said I should resign and come and preach the gospel full time. And I told them, I think I was telling them one of the churches, I said, God uses human beings. It is human beings that use money. God doesn't use money. No. God wants you and I to serve him, to surrender our lives to him, so that we can give him glory and honor and preach the gospel. But God doesn't use money. It is we that use money. So what is money? Money is mundane. Money is supposed to be our slave. Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. You can't serve God and mammon, or the spirit of money. A Baptist pastor in Ashland, they decided to come to Nigeria to see the work. Ashland Avenue didn't come. They decided to come there to see the work. When they came, they were amazed. Where do we get money to do this work? They were so amazed. Ladies and gentlemen, when you surrender your life to God, and you are prayerful, and you are dedicated, it will be amazing what God can do through you. It will be amazing. I thought God had used me tremendously. I came here and our church, we decided to fast for 21 days. And I've never fasted for 21 days. The highest I was able to go, I think, was maybe 3 days. Now 21 days, I was kind of, I'm in the midst of American good food and I'm supposed to fast for 21 days. So I was kind of gingery, you know what I mean there? By the time I start, it became sweet. At the end of the 21 days, I say, my goodness, I thought God had used me. This is like an introduction. Believe me, it's like an introduction. But let's come back. We will soon see the third person. So the second person is controlled by Jesus. Jesus is in the center. Things are now in order. Is it Jeff? Oh, Jeff, make sure that Jesus is in the center of your heart. Keep things in order. I used to be lousy and crazy and cuckoo and a jerk. Jesus now put me in my real sense, and I am married and have 3 children. How can that crazy guy that his mother say, hey, I may die, but that woman is going to marry you, I'm praying for her. My wife is enjoying life now. I wish my mother can be raised from the dead so that she will see how that crazy son of hers now is male. I mean, I have joy. In the midst of the almost every day I woke up in Nigeria, I will thank God that I had one day. Because you can be killed anytime. And then one day I said, peace, believe me, I'm enjoying life. And they thought, I said, I'm enjoying life. Because if they kill me at that moment, I've already discipled and trained many Christians that the work will still continue. If you kill me, can you kill Jerry? If you kill me, can you kill the one that is in Ghana? Fred. Fred is a firebrand. If you kill me, can you kill the one that is in Rwanda? That one is a tough one. Because God said, in every country of Africa you go, get one person that is serious and pump him up. You know, pump him with the gospel and leave him there. So we are taking the Africa by just one person. I don't look for crowd. He said, just pray. In Benin Republic, it's a French-speaking country. And I was praying, God gave me one tall one. His name is Andre. And Andre is a firebrand. So when Andre, we began to disciple him and pump him up and pump his wife, pump them up. Through Andre, we were able to install a president, a political president for the country, born again. You can Google and see, Dr. Yayi Boni. By prayer and fasting, we put a president for them, born again. Money is good, but money is not everything. What God wants is us. So, now, okay, the last one. Let's go. What we are going to do. Okay, what page is the last one? Number 3. What page is that? Page 6. Okay. On page 6, the third guy, the name is called the self-centered or carnal Christian. So there is a natural man, there's a spirit control, and then there is the self-centered or carnal Christian. Okay, now I'll ask you a question. If you look at the circle represents the human heart, then the chair in the center represents the center of the human heart. Now I ask you a question. Is this person having Jesus in his or in her heart, or Jesus is outside? Is Jesus inside or outside? Inside. But where inside? Where? Where is he inside? Just look at the dagger. Is it? Go ahead. In the heart, but where is he? He's inside the heart, yes, but he's where? Yes, sir. Now, look at it carefully now. We're talking about the cross. Eh? He's in the corner, my dear. He's in the corner. I like that guy. He's in the corner. He's by the side. that boy is something else. He's in the corner. He is not in the center of the heart. Now, this, you can also read about this person in the Bible. He said what? He said, he even called him brother. He said, brother, I could not speak to you as spiritual, but as carnal, as infants. You know what I mean? As babe. I call this one 18 pounds, 18 inches Christian. There was a couple that they got married and they didn't have a child. And so they were desperate looking for a child. I think they prayed and lo and behold, God gave them a child. So when they got the child, they were so excited. They began to pump the child with good food. You know, just pump the child with good food. Reach a place whereby the child became 18 pounds, 18 inches. So, you know, there's a way they take the babies for checkup. So time for checkup, they want to check up the baby, 18 pounds, 18 inches. They came, they pump some more food. Pump, pump, pump. The child was kind of poof. But they took the child again for checkup, and they said the child weighed 18 pounds and is 18 inches. The problem is that there was a disease that was in the child that was affecting the growth of the child. So that's why I call this one 18 pounds, 18 inches Christian. This one has received Jesus Christ maybe a long time ago, but it's not growing. It's a whiner. He said there is jealousy and quarreling among you. There is division among you. Why? Because Jesus is inside, but Jesus is not in the center. His one leg here is a Christian, but it's not fully committed. So Paul says, you were a babe. I couldn't give you solid food. And now you are still a babe. Many pastors in Nigeria, some of them have high blood pressure because some of the members are 18 pounds, 18 inches, and they give their pastors headache and buttock ache and leg ache. I'm telling you. And they come to me, hey, I say, hey, I'm not a pastor. Because me, if I share this with my members of the church, And I say, you know your identity today. If you're going to serve the Lord, serve him. If you're not going to serve the Lord, go and do your cranky, whining business somewhere, not here. A church is not a center for whining. There's a lady in, we were at West Mansfield, is the Ohio. And this lady, if anybody can say, oh, people don't visit me. Oh, nobody visit me. He said, oh, nobody visit me. People don't visit me. Eh? So one day somebody had the courage to ask her, you have been complaining that nobody visits you, and you are whining nobody visits you. You, who have you visited? Have you been visiting anybody? She went, good. I think that was the end of the whining. If you visit people, people may visit you. But just like that, people don't visit me. People don't visit me. And whining and complaining. And let me tell you one thing. A complainer or a whiner is drinking poison. And you can't drink poison and expect somebody else to die. I was telling them in the church, and I'm closing here. Because so this one you see here, let's go to page 8, and you will see something. Let's just go to page 8, and we'll stop there at page 8. If you go to page 8, we have all the three people there. Is that true or not true? Hello? We have all the three people there we talked about. Is it true or not true? Okay, where is the first one? Where is the first one? By the left here is the first person, a natural man. Then the second person now, look at the arrow. The person came and gave his heart and control. And look at the third one. Look at the third one. How the third one? The third one now is the same person that was Christ controlled. Now, look at that line. He committed a small sin. Let me say small sin. And he refused to confess it. So now I begin to go home, down, and up. Down, and up. I don't know what you call it in America, but in French they call it Ohomba. That is zigzag, it's up and down, zigzag, let's go to English now, zigzag here. Just that mistake that you made, confess it and come back, no, from small, down, up, down. So it's going roller coaster. I go down, that's American English. Yeah, that's American English. This is a roller coaster Christian. Up and down, up and down, and then I became discouraged. And settled down there. I don't think I can live the Christian life anymore. As long as you want to please the world and you want to please yourself, you cannot live that Christian life. You got to make that commitment and say, I've made up my mind. I'm going to serve the Lord. Let me say this and then I'll stop here. I was telling them that anytime if I make a mistake, or I commit wrong against my wife, if I don't confess it, I may sometimes try to look for another way of escaping the problem. You know what I mean there? But if I accept it, oh yeah, honey, I am very sorry, I am wrong. I want you to forgive me. I got peace in my soul. And she also, do you know why? She has more confidence in me because she knows when I do wrong, I can confess it. That person we are looking up and down, he commits sin and refuses to accept that. He's just doing dilly-dally, want to escape and dribble and dribble. And when I do something wrong against my wife and I don't accept it, I will try to dribble and she's dribbling. The big house becomes small house. Because in trying to escape, you come and bump each other. You know what I mean there? That's what Adam and Eve were doing in the Garden of Eden. You have committed wrong, accept it. No. Adam blamed the wife. Wife blame the serpent. Serpent couldn't blame anybody. And God gave them all punishment. Now let me ask you a question. You are on that page 8. Let me ask you a question. Which of these three circles is most showing your own picture? Which one is the identity? Because all of us here, we will find ourselves in one of those categories. All of us. I don't have to think about it. Paul says it. Natural man, spiritual man, and carnal man. So everybody in the world will find themselves in one of these. Not two. In Nigeria, when I share it, Nigerians are kind of smart people. When I share it, they would like to say, well, I'm like in the middle. There's no middle here. You are either in number one, or you are in number two, or you are in number three. I guarantee you that. Because the Bible doesn't lie. So tonight, this is America. I will leave you with the liberty and the freedom. But can you be honest with God at least once? Be honest with God and with yourself and say, Lord, I know I am one of these three. And if you know you are in number one, Jesus is in your life, forget about all your past. Go and find a private place. We were talking to one lady. And she brought all her problems. We listened to it and we listened. We say, you need Jesus. I told her, I said, go to your room also and scatter yourself before God. Nobody should be there. And by the time you scatter yourself before God and you give your life to Jesus, your son that you are complaining, that is giving you a tough time, God will take care of your son. Because my son is this, my son is that. Forget, it's not your son, it's you first. All of us have issues, you know what I mean? By the time you go before God and you say, Lord, and you scatter yourself, it's me, oh Lord. It's me. And you are honest with God, you are honest with yourself, God will take care of your problems. He will. He said, cast all your anxieties upon him because he cares for you. Me, my problem, I was faced with death. And God said, can you still serve me with all this Boko Haram? I said, I made up my mind. If I die, I die. And you know what? By the time I made up my mind, then death itself fled away from me. By the time I made up my mind, okay, I can die anytime. And if I do die, the world will still continue because I have already trained people underground. I broke those groups into small groups. So we had Christians meeting in different parts of the country. None of our members was killed. Because if they come to the building, they will not find anybody. Because the building is not a church. There come a time that you have to go underground. Now in America, you don't have to go underground. You can have your cars, you can even eat your hot dog, hamburger before you come to church. He took me somewhere and I ate. And the food was so good. He said, we're going to eat first. This is America. So eat your good food, but make sure Jesus is in the center of your life. And you know what? Don't keep this gospel only in America. The big world is waiting for you. And there is joy in serving God. But if God doesn't call you to go outside the country, right in America, you can be a missionary for the gospel. He told me about that young man. I think that's the young man. The one you are. He told me about that young man. I say, if you pump, just pump him with the Bible. One day he finds himself in Kenya, you are a missionary. You are doing mission work, my dear brother. The things you are helping, these ones that come from difficult areas, you are doing mission work. Whether you go to Africa or not, you are doing African work right here in the U.S. And God will bless you for it. God will bless you for it. So let me stop here. I have babbled with America, with Nigerian English. Now it's time for questions. And because we're in America, let me drink something first. Because in America, you can preach and drink. All right, let me drink something. Okay, you can ask your questions now while I drink. This is America. Let me enjoy it before I go back to Nigeria. Feel free to ask any question. No question can be offensive to me, please. Yes, ma'am, go ahead. Okay, I'm 68. Okay, yeah, I didn't say I'm old. I didn't say I'm old or getting older. I'm 68 years old. I became 68. 6'8" last December 15th, December 15th last year. And I thank God for it. Okay, yes, sir. That's my boy. Eh? I was born 15th December 1951. That's why I became 68 years old last year. Okay? 1974. Yeah, just 2 years. I was working with the government of Nigeria when I gave my life to Jesus. Then 2 years after that, God said I should resign and then preach the gospel full time. And I have no regret, okay? So 2 years in between, 72, I gave my life to Christ. 74, I resigned and became a full-time preacher. Yes, ma'am?
My husband went to LBC about the first time you mentioned.
What is his name?
And he's deceased now, Tom Riley.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't. Where is he from?
He was from there. He was from
Okay. Okay. The one I know, I think, was a guy from this. Pardon? Yes, I know Daniel Ademunya from Nigeria. And I know Moses Anse. You know Moses Anse? With his wife? You know, okay, Moses Anse, yeah. But he passed away also. Yeah, his wife and the children are there. He passed away. Daniel is still there. We communicated with Daniel not long ago. I think he's still there. And, okay, good. Another one? This your church have smart people. These questions are dangerously good. Okay. Okay, I will tell you that. When I was working with the government, I resigned. Then I moved to a different city called Jos. Jos, Jesus our Savior. And I was telling him that we were showing on the map. So when I was in Jos, I was raising disciples. So part of raising disciples is after we have trained them like this, we take them out for practical. I don't train you just get theory and fill your head. No. Now you have listened. We're going to test the water. So we went out somewhere for an outreach where I was invited to go and preach to quite a number of people. So there was, I think, an American there or Canadian on the pulpit, so were there. So when I was preaching, the place was jam-packed. So when I was preaching, people were already crying, and I was preaching. I didn't even do altar call. I was still preaching. People were crying. So there's a government official that came there. I don't know what, but he just came to listen to the. But the meeting was not for him, but he came there just to, out of curiosity. So he stepped up and came and met me, say, you are preaching, and people are crying, and you have not introduced yourself. We want to know who you are. So I said, well, let me finish what brought me. Let me finish preaching Jesus, and then I can introduce myself later. So I continued my preaching. He went and sat down. So to cut the whole story short, he was the man that after I finished the preaching, he had some problems. So he sent for me, and I gave him some counsel and prayed with him. Actually, he was about to die. So he said they should call me so that he can talk to me before he passed away. So when I came, I shared the gospel with him, and then I said, you can just confess it. He confessed that, and then I called his wife. You know, this is what he has done, because he was being unfaithful to his wife. So I said, just tell your wife. And he told the wife, and the wife said, I've forgiven him. The wife is a very wonderful lady. So after that, he got well. I mean, his sins were forgiven, and God was merciful to him. He got well. So after he got well, the government of Nigeria sent him to Louisiana to come and study, I think, engineering. So when he was in Louisiana, then he said he would like me to come to America and study, but he wants me to study in the area of my field, to study theology, to study Bible. So I'm not asking to come and study secular subject. I want to study in your line. So you see, I know you are a good preacher, but I wanted to get more training in your field. So he got in touch with Lexington Baptist College, and then they sent me the brochure, then they sent me the forms. Now let me be humorous there. When they sent me the brochure, so beautiful, the form so beautiful, but because I didn't finish high school, my handwriting was like chicken scratch. You know, my handwriting was not good. So I just got married to Victoria. We just got married. So Victoria, when we were courting each other, if I say courting, is that when we were like befriend each other? She used to write letters to me, and her handwriting was good. So I said, now that we are married, fill the forms for me. Because if I do this chicken scratch, I don't think they will give me admission in America. You know, so I said, I'll do the talking and you do the filling. So anyway, that's what happened. And then after she filled my form, I said, fill form also so that maybe if they can give you admission so we can go together. Well, she filled the form, they gave us admission. And that's why 1980, we found ourselves here in Lexington, Kentucky, the land of the bluegrass. Okay. Did I answer your question? Another question? I'm enjoying these questions now. Okay, sir. My friend. Yes, sir. Yes. Yes. Actually, anybody who doesn't have Jesus in their hearts, as we look at, in a sense, they have unclean spirit. It's just that it will manifest in different ways. So,
for the Muslims, their religion advocates or encourages violence. And that violence is the spirit of the devil. So the Boko Harams and the ISIS and all that, they are actually filled with evil spirit. And that's why, like in Nigeria now, quite a number of them have become born again. Because if I meet with the Boko Haram, then, like, hold it right there. What is really your problem? I mean, if he doesn't kill me before we get in the dialogue, by the time he allow me 5-10 minutes of dialogue with him, he may end up throwing away that gun. Unless if he kills me before that time. If he gives me 10 minutes to discuss with him, then I say, man, I'm just cool down. Let me go through something with you. And I share this thing even with Muslims. Because there are Muslims in here. Evil spirit. So through this, I have, through my preaching, sometime before Boko Haram, when I used to preach in my home, I would say that they should invite the Muslims. So when they come, I will start from Abraham and Isaac. You know, they have that in the Quran. So I start from the known to the unknown. And by the time I come to Jesus, then they will not like to hear that. Then I already got them. So I'll begin like bullets. You know what I mean? I am just not giving any inch. So some of them will believe, some of them don't. So, but now as I'm talking to you, many of those Muslims are becoming Christians because we pray and we fast. Jesus said some of those demons can't come out except by prayer and fasting. That's why in Nigeria we don't pray with fasting. We don't. We take prayer and fasting very seriously. There was a time that one of the Muslim dictator, he was the president of Nigeria. I mean, he's an Islamic military dictator. And he was like mocking at us Christians. Let's pray, you know. You say let's pray, okay? He said, let's pray. Let's pray as I can just pray. He was, I mean, like just mocking, you know, teasing us. So we Christians took that seriously. I remember our group said, okay, he said we should pray, we're going to pray. So we declared prayer and fasting, and we were serious. So in the evening we came before we break our fast. So we said, let us pray first. So we enter a room and lock ourselves, and we were praying and praying. And this is not Pentecostal now. These are, one of them is a Baptist evangelist, and then me. We were praying and we were praying, we were praying. Before we finished the prayer, they sent us a message that General Abacha has died. Literally. So at first we said, no, we won't take this news seriously because maybe he's testing to see those who hate him. And then he would deal with them. So let's calm down. So we calm down, we finish our prayer. Then we came and the television was on. And then it was on CNN. You know CNN? You know CNN? So it was CNN. And then CNN said, General Abacha has died, in American English. We said, okay, this news is true. And it was true. The guy was mocking at us. Let's pray. You say, let's pray. And we took it seriously. Before we could finish the prayer and the fasting, the guy has died. And he died a mysterious death. So if we are serious, some of them, God will kill them. Some of them, they will become Christians. Because the battle is not in physical body. The Bible, Paul talks about it. Our battle is not physical. That child, that your child that is giving you headache and buttocks ache and leg ache, is the evil spirit that wants to destroy the home. So if you look up yourself, like my mother did, my mother was praying for me when I was doing this craziness, and it passed her power. So one day she went to her room and she said, "What, Lord, whip him." He said, "Lord, whip him thoroughly, but don't kill him." Was that prayer? That's prayer. She was so innocent. He said, "God should whip me and whip me thoroughly, but don't kill him." And God heard her prayer, and God whipped me. But he didn't kill me. It caused me to repent. So evil spirits are real. Some of our Baptist people, they don't believe in evil spirit. But it is in the Bible. And if you ignore the evil spirit, they will cheat you. Because they can enter your house and enter a child and enter somebody. And before you know it, the child is cuckoo. You know, the child is crazy. The child is hitting things. You know what I mean there? You know how, do you know the way we raise our kids? I raise our kids with prayer. With prayer. Our daughter, very beautiful girl. The one that got married in Columbus. Very beautiful, very brilliant. But she wants to play on my intelligence. You know, she wants to play on my intelligence. She didn't like homeschool. And so, I said, prayer. So my wife and I will agree. We say, this girl is trying to be noticed. So we agree. Say, sit down together. So when she discovered that the mother is not supporting her, I'm not supporting her, we are all together. And then we are praying. That girl, one day by herself, she ran from her classroom and went to the wardrobe and gave her life to Christ on her own. Ladies and gentlemen, there are some things that we cannot take care of by ourselves. But the Spirit of God can take care of it. You are a young man growing and you love the Lord. Your parents are crazy. You can subdue them through prayer. That's why the Bible says, pray for one another. So I hope I answered your question. Yes. Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you for your time. Because sometimes I can be long-winded. Let me be short-winded. Thank you, my brother. Let me be short-winded. Thank you very much. I appreciate, and seriously, I seriously say, I want to say thank you for your time, because this is not Nigeria, this is Africa, and this is America. So in Nigeria, we can go 2 hours and keep rolling. Okay. But, yes, my brother. Yes.
And that was Mellow Yellow. I'm telling you, when he gets to preaching, he's a Gatling gun. Okay. All right. Was there any other question anybody might have? I don't want to pass anyone up. Sister Barb? Brother Manasseh?
This one take it to Trump. This one take it to the president of European Union. This one is it to European Union. And before he took the letter to these places, he went to the federal judge and said he should stamp it for him. Now, I have never done that thing. He took it and said, stamp it for me before I distribute these letters. So when he took the letter to the office of the European Union, they looked at the letter and they said, this letter, take it to Trump. I think Trump is the one that knows how to deal with this kind of thing. The Union, the European Union themselves believe that this kind of thing, only Trump can deal with it. So they tell him, take this letter to Trump, not knowing that he has already addressed one to Trump. So when Muslims began Christians, men, they are even more serious than the original virus. That's why I like to pray for them to become Christians. And now we have a few of those terrorists that have become born again. But when they come, we try to also try to keep their security. Because when you become Muslim, they would like to kill you. Some of their sheikhs, you know what a sheikh is? Sheikh is a Muslim pastor. You know, like a pastor or like a bishop of a Muslim. So when they become Christians, a few of them that I know, I'm talking about what I know, a few of them have repented that we know, we disciple them underground. Underground? You know, we disciple underground so that we are protecting them, but also we are equipping and training them. And I mean, there are a few that I know and they are on fire for the Lord. One of them was handling about 50 Muslim kids. So by the time he gave his life to Christ, one by one, he was winning them to Christ. By the time I left Nigeria, about 40, something of them have given their life to Christ. But we keep it kind of high five. Thank you very much.
Okay. If you were asking me that question, I'd say yes. I tell you what, we'd like to take up a love offering, and if I could get my ushers to come forward, Brother Jeff, Brother Richard, and Brother Joe, and Brother Connor, and let's take up a love offering for, if the Lord lays on your heart to give, we want to just be an encouragement to Brother Manasseh, and we're thankful for his witness, his testimony, his family, and pray that the door would open back up to where he could go back to Nigeria. It's very difficult there right now. Christians are dying, as he says, literally. It's just a fact. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we approach your throne of grace once again, and we thank you for Brother Manasseh and for you protecting him over the years, and Lord, that you would use him, and we do count it a privilege to be in ministry. Lord, we just pray your hand to continue to be upon him, to protect him, to guide him, to lead him in the path you'd have him to go, to preach where you'd have him to preach. And Lord, we pray your blessings upon his family and his country. We pray that you would restore freedom there. And Lord, that you would overturn the ruthlessness and the hatred and the evil that is going on. And Lord, we just pray your kingdom come, your will be done. Lord, we ask that you touch our hearts to give, to glorify you. And Lord, we pray when we go our separate ways, you'd watch over us and bring us back safely the next time we meet again to worship and praise you. We thank you for what you're going to do, for Christ's sake. Amen.